Loving Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to us. Thank you that it is life-giving. Lord, we pray that you would breathe the breath of your spirit amongst us, that your word would take root in our lives and bear fruit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I wonder if you have any particular songs, favourite pieces of music that really resonate with you. Something that you listen to and it kind of excites your heart, kind of brings your soul alive. Those sort of songs that you start to hear and the kind of hair just stands up on the back of your head, on its end. Well, one of those that does it for me is a modern hymn called O Church Arise. And the last verse of this seems particularly fitting for the festival that we're celebrating today, All Saints Day. It says this: So Spirit come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. We hear their calls and we hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. I wonder if that was what you got up feeling hungry for this morning. I got up and I was feeling hungry for my, I had porridge and toast this morning. I wonder, maybe I should have got up on All Saints Day being really hungry that one day I might stand with Christ in glory. And that's a promise that's open to all of us today, is that if we're trusting in Jesus, if we're part of his body, if we're all saints, then we share in, as our passage puts it in verse 18 in Ephesians, that we stand to share in the riches of God's glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, All Saints Day is a time for us to remember the works of grace in the lives of those Christians who have gone before us, those people who we have been particular servants of the faith. But it's not just those superstar Christians that have been written about. It's also about remembering the lives of ordinary Christians, the ordinary saints who have gone before, and the ordinary saints who we stand amongst this morning. And it's about thanking God for the works of grace in our lives and amongst us even today. It's a time for us to encourage one another to keep running the race that we've been given, to help make sure that all of us end up in glory with Christ one day. It's amazing that God thinks of us as saints. But that's not something that I necessarily feel like very often. I look at my Christian life and it doesn't feel particularly saintly. And there's no one area where that feels most the case than when it comes to my prayer life. I'll illustrate this for you. So it might be that I've decided that I'm going to commit to pray each evening before I go to bed. Okay, so getting to bed, say goodnight to my wife, goodnight darling, roll over on one side, turn the lights out, going to pray. Loving Father, I thank you so much. Or perhaps I think I'm going to commit to pray in the evening, but what actually happens is I see that there's a really great film on Netflix. And it's kind of a Bruce Willis action film that I really like, that sort of genre. And I've just got to watch it. And that means, I'm too tired when it comes to bed to pray. Perhaps it's that. Or perhaps what I might do is I take my phone and I think I'm going to set my alarm really early for tomorrow morning. I'm feeling particularly spiritual. I'll set my alarm to kind of wake me up in the morning, get up early before my daughter's up, and then I'll take some time to pray. So my alarm goes off, it wakes me up. I should be kind of jumping out of bed with eagerness to talk to God, but I go and hit snooze, and I roll over and go back to sleep. Wonder if is that your experience at all? Or perhaps I think, oh, I've got some time during the day. I'm a theological student, I'm training to be a vicar. I don't really have much to do really, so I can take some time to actually talk to God in my room. I'll sit down, I'll close my eyes, I'll pray. Loving Father, thank you so much for this day. Oh, I must remember to post that letter. Oh, thank you so much for your goodness to, I've got a lecture. Must make sure I do the pre-reading for that. And my mind just kind of gets distracted and daydreams and wanders off onto other things. It's definitely not a saintly experience. I struggle with my motivation. I struggle with getting distracted. I struggle being inspired what to actually pray for. I struggle with perseverance and kind of keeping going in prayer. And then when I stand back and look at my prayer life, I can end up feeling incredibly discouraged. I wonder if it's just me. Well, the good news is that if you've ever struggled with motivation, distraction, inspiration, perseverance, discouragement in your prayer life, then Paul has something really helpful for us in these verses in Ephesians. And he gives us some really helpful advice through his own example of why we should be praying for one another, how we should be praying for one another, and what we should pray for one another. And I want to look at those three things in turn together. So first reason why we should be praying for one another, why we should be praying for our fellow saints. Verses 15 and 16 say this. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. For this reason, I find myself asking, what is motivating Paul as he comes to pray for the Ephesian Christians? And actually, Paul is looking back to the previous 10 verses of his letter for Ephesians, which we haven't had a chance to read this morning, but I'd really encourage you to go home and read afterwards, because it is an amazing account of God's saving work through Christ for his people. And there are two main themes that emerge from that. The first is that we're chosen in Christ for blessing, and the second is that we're chosen in Christ for a purpose. Chosen in Christ for a blessing and chosen in Christ for a purpose. And in fact, it's not just any blessing. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's not just a few of the spiritual blessings. This is a picture of God's abundant blessing of his people in Christ. Here's a few of the things that Paul then goes on to share about. We're blessed because we're chosen to be God's children, to be redeemed, to be forgiven, to receive his grace in abundance, to know something of God's purposes, to have an eternal inheritance, to be co-heirs in his kingdom, to be filled with his spirit. And this is all because God loves us and wanted us and so planned to bless us in this way. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that's one of the reasons that motivates Paul to prayer. He prays because of what God has done in Christ for his people. Because it is such a big thing to grasp that we need God's help to really grasp it. That's one of my prayers for us this morning, that as we reflect on what God has done for us in Christ, that God's Holy Spirit would make it real for us and help us to grasp afresh the wonder of the gospel. So we're chosen in Christ for blessing, but we're also chosen in Christ for a purpose. We see this in verses 11 and 12. I'll just read those back to you now. In him, that's in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to a plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ today, then your purpose is to be for the praise of God's glory. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ today, then your purpose is to be for the praise of God's glory. And to me, that raises two important questions. The first is, what on earth do we mean by God's glory? And the second is, what does it mean for us to be for the praise of God's glory? One of my favourite stories in the Old Testament appears in the book of Exodus, chapters 33 and 34. Go back and read it after the service if you want to check what I'm saying. And this is an amazing story where Moses is on the cusp of journeying into promised land, of leading the Israelites into a promised land. And he is talking to God about not being able to bear that burden. And Moses' prayer to God is, Lord, show me your glory. Show me who you are. And God turns up. And it's one of those stories where I kind of wish that I was there to see it and to hear what God actually says. And when God turns up and reveals his glory, this is what he says. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love for thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. God's glory is all of his goodness, mercy, compassion, grace, his abounding love and faithfulness, his generous forgiveness and perfect justice. So when it talks about us being for the praise of God's glory, what Paul really means there is that we would live lives that point to how glorious God is. That we would live lives that show that he has saved us and would bring honour to him. I don't know about you, but that feels like a really big calling. It is a really big calling, isn't it? And we need God's help to grasp the magnitude of that, but also to be able to step into it. And so that's why Paul prays. So Paul is praying because he knows God's people who he's praying for are chosen in Christ for blessing, and they're chosen in Christ for a purpose. And that motivated him to pray. Hopefully that motivates us to think about how we are praying for one another. And it's wonderful that after the service today, though if you particularly feel like you want to pray with someone, there's an opportunity to do that after the service. And you might feel like you want to go and spend some time praying with Lucinda. But perhaps you might just want to pray with the person who sat next to you in the pew, if there's something that God's put on your heart and you'd like to bring to him. So we've thought about why we should be praying for one another, but let's think about how we should pray for one another. This is verses 15 and 16, and Paul writes this: ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul describes his praying as being intentional From the very first moment he heard about their Christian faith, he's been praying for them. It's thankful. His prayers start with thanks for his brothers and sisters in Christ, rather than with complaints about all the things that he finds irritating about them. His prayers are personal. He's remembering the Ephesians as individuals. He's got to know them. He loves them. And that leads him to pray for them. And his prayers are persistent. He says, I do not cease. I keep asking. I wonder which aspect of Paul's example there most challenges you, most encourages you, perhaps. Whether it's a challenge to be more intentional in setting aside time to pray to God. Maybe it's from trying to start from a posture of thankfulness. Perhaps it's committing to pray personally for a few individuals. And say, I'm going to commit to praying for these three people, these five people for the next week. Or perhaps it's just a call to be a bit more gritty and persistent in the way you pray, to do the hard graft of praying for brothers and sisters. So that's a bit about how we might pray. We've thought about why we should pray. So what is it actually we should be praying? In those moments when we sit down and we say, Loving Father, I really want to pray for my brother Simon Taylor. And then our mind just goes blank as to what we might actually like to pray. Well, Paul gives us a couple of tips to kind of get us started here. And there's two main things he prays for. He says he prays first that the Ephesian Christians would know the Father better, that they'd get to know their Father. And the second thing he prays is that they would know the Father's blessing. We see this in verse 17 and 18. So Paul prays, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. We've already thought about how amazing God is in terms of what he's done for us in Christ. And Paul recognises the enormity of that, and so he's praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ that they might really grasp who God is. That with Moses, that they might be able to see something of his goodness and compassion and grace and mercy and justice that is for them. He's praying that they would really get it. And this isn't just about head knowledge. This is about knowing in the heart. It's like Paul speaks of in Romans, where he says that God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we can know him better. This is what we should be praying for one another. Praying for one another that God would pour his Spirit into our lives, that we would truly know our Father. But we should also be praying that we would know our Father's blessing. We see this in verses 18 and 19. I'll just remind you of that. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, or the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul is praying here that our eyes might be opened to see the wonder of the blessing that he's just been talking about in the first 11 verses of Ephesians. That we would grasp all that God has done for us in Christ. The hope of the glorious inheritance that he has called us to. And he is praying that we would know God's power at work in our lives that enable us to live lives that are for the praise of the glory of God. And God's power is no small thing. Paul is speaking here of God's life-giving, resurrecting power, the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, being at work in our lives. So we thought about our prayer lives today and about praying for one another as Christians. We've looked at why we should pray for one another following Paul's example. And Paul's reminded us that we pray because God has chosen us to receive God's blessing, and he's chosen us for a purpose in Christ. And we should perhaps try to be a little bit more intentional and thankful and personal and persistent in the way that we pray for one another. And perhaps we need to broaden the scope of our prayers for each other. Perhaps, drawing on Paul's inspiration, pray that God's Spirit would help each other to get to know the Father better. That God's Spirit would open our eyes so that we know something of what it means to have a glorious inheritance in the saints and to have God's power at work in us. At the start, I shared something of my struggle, my ongoing struggle with prayer. At various times with motivation, distraction, inspiration, perseverance, discouragement. I wonder if, as I've been talking, you thought, I'd really like God's help with one of those things. I really struggle to persevere in my prayers, to just commit to keep on praying. Or perhaps I really struggle, perhaps you feel like you really struggle with knowing what to pray, and you want God's help with that. Or perhaps you just like God's help to just start praying, like Paul does, intentionally starting praying for the Ephesians Christians. Or perhaps it's something else that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart as we've been speaking. Let's just take a moment to allow God's Spirit to fix our minds, to fix our hearts on perhaps what he's saying for each one of us about the way that we pray for each other. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of servants good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. Amen.